give me a glimmer of hope again. Save me from all my wandering. If I've been looking in all the wrong places, would you turn me back around again?
Welcome to Hopecasts, where our true stories brighten your day by providing insight and encouragement. I invite you to listen as my husband, Dr. Ken Brown, shares one of his amazing personal experiences that will inspire and stir your soul. Even in the challenges of life's darkest moments, you can always find a glimmer of hope through the love of God. So settle in, open your heart, and let's journey together through the power of storytelling.
Not again. Not on my watch. As a police officer, some nights you get calls that you wished that you never had gotten. We had just got into the police car and just leaving 41 Division in Scarborough in Toronto when the dispatcher on the radio said, 4102, 4102, respond to a woman not breathing at, and gave a location. And this location was the apartment building just beside the police station. So as we turned out of the police station, we just turned into the first driveway and we got onto the elevator and went up to the floor and knocked at the door, and the door immediately opened. And there was a woman, beautiful woman, maybe 25 years old, completely, absolutely stark naked, lying on the couch. And what the problem was is that she was not breathing. I immediately rushed to her side, felt for a pulse. There was no pulse. Immediately I started CPR. And this man was, meanwhile, talking to my partner. And he was saying that, well, we had sex earlier this evening, maybe an hour ago. And then I woke up and she was kind of choking and she wasn't breathing. And she was having trouble. I heard this horrible, horrible sound in her throat and the popping in her lungs. She apparently has asthma. So I didn't know what to do. So I went into the elevator and I went upstairs and I knocked at the door of the apartment where she lives with her girlfriend. And so the girlfriend wasn't really waking up. And so I kept on knocking and kept on knocking. So finally we got there. And so we were trying to look for her puffer, but she didn't know where her puffer was. So finally we decided to come downstairs. And my partner said, how long was that? Oh, about 15 minutes ago. You mean you left her by herself for about 15 minutes? Well, we were trying to find her puffer. Did you call the police? Did you call the ambulance? Well, I didn't know what to do. And now, meanwhile, I was pumping on her chest. I was breathing into her mouth. I was doing the CPR at the right rhythm. I was trying to get her to come back to life, but no life was coming back. There was no pulse, and it didn't matter. And suddenly, the paramedics burst through the door and they decided to take over with the breathing. They had a breath machine. And meanwhile, I had to keep on because I was doing the rhythms, keeping on, doing the heart compressions, but nothing was working. We worked on her body for almost 20 minutes with no results. And then they decided to transport her to the hospital. And so when I finally stopped doing CPR on her, I said to this man, are you going to the hospital with the ambulance? And do you know what he said? No, why should I? Why should you? You just had sex with this woman and you're not even gonna go and honor her and go to the hospital with her? And with that, I started to spin and my partner caught my arm just as I was so angry. I'm not given to violence, but I wanted to pound that man senseless for his heartlessness, for his cruelty to that woman. I was so angry. I was so angry. God forgive me. But I just couldn't understand this cruel, heartless man who just an hour before had been taking advantage of this woman and then did not even try to really help her by calling the ambulance. And she died on his couch. I had trouble getting the image of this beautiful dead woman who did not respond to any of my care, didn't respond to the breath of life, although I tried so hard to revive her. What a waste, God. And death came so swiftly and unexpectedly to her. And now it was all over for her, a finality. Oh, God. I felt a touch of how the Lord was grieving over the loss of this precious life, the fragility of life. And the enemy had won, despite my best efforts. If only that man had called earlier, her life surely, surely would have been spared. And that experience has left a tender scar in my heart that I carry to this day. In contrast to that heartless, callous man. And I still wished I had got there sooner to save her life. About a year later, I was just leaving that same police station and heard the dispatcher once again say, 4109, 4109, respond to a woman having trouble breathing at... This was the apartment building across the street. And it was actually asking us to go to the 11th floor where this woman apparently was having a terrible asthma attack. The dispatcher was talking to her, and she was getting fainter and fainter, and she could barely say the word. She gave her address, and she said that she didn't know where her puffer was, and she couldn't get off the floor, and she had fallen, and I need help right now. Please, please, send somebody right now. It was literally right across the street. I was thinking about that woman that had died on the other apartment building right beside the police station. So when we got to that apartment, I knocked on the door. I slammed on a door. I banged the door, but there was no answer. And the dispatcher said she could hear us knocking. She could hear us banging and calling out on the phone, but she was not responding. She could just hear this breathing, this labored, torturous breathing. I banged so hard, I hurt my foot. I hurt my shoulder, and my partner did too. We were trying to open it, but it was a steel cased door with us, and it was so, and she had it bolted. It was in a terrible neighborhood, so these doors were built to resist anybody coming in. It was at that time the neighbor from the apartment next door to hers that came out. And so I immediately asked that neighbor, can I go to your balcony? I went out to her balcony and looked. There was no use. The balconies were too far apart to get to the next one, and it was a dizzying 11 floors up. Now the dispatcher was saying, there was a weaker whisper, and she could barely hear wheezing. And now she wasn't responding. She just could hear the wheezing. And now she was asking her, but there was no answer. Well, we called for a key holder. We called for the manager of the apartment building. There was no answer. We kept calling. We called to see if we could find the family. There was no family. And now there were several officers, EMS, paramedics, sergeants, all banging at the door, all trying to kick it in. But it was impossible to breach that steel door. And now the dispatcher was saying, there's no answer now. Just a rattle in her voice. And she didn't know what to do. She was saying that this rattle was getting worse. And now nothing. Now she said, there's nothing. I don't hear anything. I don't hear anything. You've got to get in there. And at that point, I decided to do something. I said out loud, no, not again, not in my watch. So I went back into that apartment next door, and the balconies were 5 to 6 feet apart, and there was nothing but empty air for 11 floors between them. But I noted that if I stood up on the rail, I could easily grab the concrete slab of the floor above the next apartment. And then I went up there holding on, and then suddenly my partner came out. No, you don't. No, you don't. Get down from there. But I could just sense it. The next apartment's concrete was just a tantalizing few inches away from my hands, from my fingers. I thought I could do it. He says, no, get down from there. So I got down from there. And the dispatcher then said there was no sound at all coming from her. I took off my belt, 25 pounds of equipment. And I stood back on that railing. And I grabbed onto that. And he pleaded me, please, don't do this. Don't do it. It's not worth it. But I turned around and I committed myself. And I swung over and grabbed the concrete with both of my fingers and swung myself onto the railing and then the balcony. The sliding door mercifully was unlocked because no one would have been stupid enough to do what I had just done. And I ran to the heavy steel door and unlocked it. And the paramedics rushed in. She was already dead. But But they were able to revive her, and we rushed her to the hospital. The doctor said she had been dead for at least a couple minutes and said most certainly she would never have survived unless she had received instant help. And I started to think about this. You see, Jesus sees just how desperate we are. He sees that we're not just dying of an asthma attack because we made a mistake. We didn't bring our puffer, or we had sex when we shouldn't have, or we fell off the couch. Our situation is far worse. We're sinners. We've made mistakes, and we're condemned to die, and we're dying there, desperate, alone, trapped inside ourselves. The door is locked from the outside. But Jesus, he did far more than just jump across from a balcony to balcony. No, he left heaven itself and came to live as a human being, to die on a cross, to suffer in order to save us. And when we bring him into ourselves, into our apartments, when we let him into our lives, he saves us. He does far more than just a paramedic giving oxygen and CPR. And they gave her, epinephrine in her heart. More than that, he gives us a heart, a blood transfusion. He gives us his beautiful blood for our own. He breathes life, the life of his spirit into us, and he makes us alive. We, who are dead and dying and without any hope, he bridged the gap. He didn't just jump across 11 floors of empty air. He came from heaven itself to save us, and he endured the worst, and he went to hell to bring us and to save us and give us life. In Galatians 1:4, Jesus said that Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. And you know, that's my prayer for you, that you wouldn't die in your sin. What a waste. Don't be like that first situation. Allow Jesus to come into your life and wrench open your door and somehow save you and bring you life. And he will. He is a savior that you can count on. Someone that will not allow you to die on his watch. Because he ever lives to make intercession for you. May God bless you and make these words come alive inside of you.
Thank you for tuning into HopeCast for inspiring stories that will touch your heart. If today's story encouraged you, then please subscribe to our channel and visit us at hopecast.org to learn more. You can also watch the video version of this story and many more from Dr. Brown on our HopeCasts YouTube, or listen on our Spotify, Apple, or Amazon Music podcasts. Until next time, keep holding on to hope, and please share these stories with someone who really needs encouragement. May God bless you.
I've been searching and I've been seeking. It seems like you're nowhere to be found. And I'd do anything just to see you. If I close my eyes, will I see you now? Cause I know faith holds in what can be seen, but my hope feels like a distant dream. Give me a glimmer of hope again. Save me from all my wandering. If I've been looking in all the wrong places, would you turn me back around again?